The Burning Truth with Casey Hendrickson.
And good afternoon. Thank you for tuning into The Burning Truth. I am your host, Casey Hendrickson, and joining us, because it's Tuesday tithe, we got to go to church with Pastor Lucas Miles. Pastor Miles, how you doing?
Hey, I am doing pretty well for Tuesday here.
Yeah, man, it's been a long day today. Has it been weird for you too? Like, I feel like you've been in fog all day.
It weirdly has. Yes, it has been. This has been like a very, very long day. But even lots of good stuff, but it's been wild.
Even my daughter was saying the same thing. She picked her up early and take her to an appointment. She fell asleep in the car and she's like, I just can't get going today. It's like man, something in the air, I guess. Well, maybe that's a sign.
Who knows
exactly? Maybe that's a sign that Nikki Haley is going to pull this one out.
Hey, you never know. You never know.
Yeah, we do. We 100% know, but we like to pretend because it makes things more interesting. All right, Pastor Miles. So let's revisit entertainment, shall we? We've talked about this in the past. I think there's actually some positive inroads with a lot of celebrities coming out about their faith. And I think that there's a lot more entertainment being created for the family now. Over the past, I mean, it used to obviously be a lot more, but I'm just talking like the past 10 years or so. You know, finally we're starting to have people create stuff for the family and faith-based stuff. And the faith-based stuff is doing really well. And you got a couple of things here. One, we've got an American Idol contestant, 17-year-old Jennifer Jeffries. You know, she's from Mississippi. She wrote a song, played the song for the American Idol judges, and got through, but it was a song about struggling with sin. And she's really connected with a lot of people. And we also have the Great American Family is going to launch a mystery film franchise. Now, Candace Cameron Bure is involved in this project. So we've got more creators doing it. But on the flip side of that, too, you do have films that are still attacking Christianity. There's a new film called Christian Nash. Oh, wait, hold on a second. God and Country, which is a hit piece on so-called Christian nationalism, which we touched on last week. So what are your thoughts on the entertainment space here?
You know, look, I think I'm optimistic. I mean, there's always going to be both. You know, there's always going to be haters, and there's going to be people that are breaking into the space. You know, you mentioned Candace. Candace is a friend. You know, I've interviewed her multiple times. I was with her at Biola University for about an hour and a half, sit down in front of the student body and got to hang out for the day. And she's the real deal. You know, she loves the Lord. And of course, I don't speak for her or her office or anything like that. But I really think that she's trying to make some alternative programming that is just as good, just as engaging with quality actors as what you see on other platforms. It doesn't mean that every show is going to have, you know, John 3:16 in it, but I think that this is safe for the family to watch sort of content. You know, of course, you know, I think that you're going to have programs are going to, you know, kind of come out of those hit pieces, especially in an election year, because as we've talked about, Christian nationalism is the thing that they are most afraid of.
Yes.
And again, I'm using that as, I don't even like the term, right? I've criticized the term. I think the term's a misnomer from the start, but that's at least what they're going to present as this is the biggest problem here in America. So they're hammering that. And really what they're afraid of is they're afraid of Christians in general, you know, because that we're not willing to bow down to the regime. And I think that should always be the case. So I'm optimistic. I'm excited to kind of check these out. I'm always into both the ones that are on the side of, even if they're, you know, poking at Christianity or antagonizing against it, I'm always interested in at least checking those out and kind of seeing what they have to say.
Yeah, they really got away from this sort of thing. And, you know, for those of you who might be younger out there in the audience, you know, there was a time where a couple of times a week, like, you had dedicated faith-based programming on your major networks. You know, you had Highway to Heaven, Seventh Heaven. You had Joan of Arcadia was one, Touched by an Angel. Like, you had really massive hits, like big shows that were dedicated to faith. And then it just vanished. And next thing you know, it was just completely belittling, attacking, erasing it. And as it starts to come back, you see shows like The Chosen and The Bible and even VeggieTales. I'll throw VeggieTales in there. Why not? You know, they start. Those are still big hits, even though people have some issues with them. You know, people in of faith have some issues with them. They're still big hits because there just isn't anything out there. And we're at a point now where Candace can go out there and make something that is not going to be explicitly, you know, Bible study every day, but because it's for the family and it is designed to have a positive message, like it's automatically treated as, oh, it's a Christian show. So we've gone to the point now where if you promote the nuclear family at all, you must be Christian. And if you do anything opposite of that, well, then you must be so-called enlightened or whatever, according to Hollywood. And it's really become very interesting.
You know, not only were there these kind of mainstay Christian programs that were out there and popular, the mainstream stuff was not afraid to have faith references.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't afraid to have Christian characters. They weren't afraid to, like, have a family pray before, you know, a meal or go to church or something like that. We saw this very regularly. I mean, probably in most recently, Blue Bloods is one of those shows that I felt like was kind of hanging on to that, you know, for as long as possible, where they would kind of pray before they ate. And I don't know, I haven't kept up, you know, to see what, you know, if that's even still on or whatnot. But I think that that was, you know, being challenged after a while as well. And so, you know, we've really gotten away from even recognizing faith and culture. Even Friends and Seinfeld have all sorts of references to the Bible in them. Yeah. And they're making kind of joke, not that they're making fun of Christianity, but they're using stories like Noah and Abraham and Moses. And they're kind of playing on that and making jokes and one-liners in a fun, playful way that people would get because they were familiar with the Bible. Now, if you try to make those jokes, nobody would know what you're talking about. They wouldn't get it because there's such a rise in biblical illiteracy and everything else because of this kind of antagonistic, you know, spirit, for lack of a better term, that's really risen up.
Yeah, the Christian nationalism thing, which we referenced last week when you were on, it's like it's kind of interesting because they can't even define what it is. So they struggle to define what Christian nationalism is. And we had talked about it, and it was, I don't know, it was like the day of or the day after, like I think it was the New York Times came out with trying to define what it was just so people understood what it was. And they still didn't even define it properly. But what I find interesting is there's a new survey that was done. Not sure if you ran into this yet, but Christian nationalism is affirmed by 30% of white evangelicals, according to a survey. So this is Public Religion Research Group. And I don't know much about them. I would assume that if anybody here does, it would be you. But they surveyed 22,000 adults and ended up finding out that, yeah, there's massive support for Christian nationalism. Yeah, we love America and we love Christianity. What of it? But they're painting it as white evangelicals because, you know, you have to do that, right?
Yeah, see, you see groups like this, and I'm just pulling this up to make sure I'm thinking about the right group here. Yeah, I just addressed these guys here recently on Twitter. They are very much tied into The Atlantic. They're tied into Berkeley. They're tied into Religion News Service, which is sort of, you would think Religion News Service would be a great platform to learn about religion,
yeah,
but it's ran by guys that are super left. And so, you know, when you have these polls and these studies there's an agenda behind them. You know, they want to show this. They want to show how big of a problem. So they're going to ask questions using their definition of what they believe Christian nationalism is, which, you know, in my book, Woke Jesus, or The Christian Left, I can't remember now as I say this, sometimes those blur together in my mind. I addressed this, there's a guy named Andrew Whitehead who wrote kind of this, he was one of the early books against, you know, this concern of Christian nationalism. And he talks about Christian nationalists and he defines them as like, here's symptoms of Christian nationalism. And he says that he addresses soccer moms, anybody who voted for Trump, anybody who believes in the second coming, anybody who's even evangelistic with their faith. Like that describes like all of American, like serious evangelical Christians.
Yeah, most soccer moms are pretty left-wing, by the way. It's the softball moms that know what's up.
You got to know what's going on in the bumper stickers. That's where you really know what's happening. You know, if you see that Darwin fish, you know.
Yeah. Oh, man. Look, my grandpa used to tell me something before he died, and I don't know where he picked it up, but he picked it up somewhere along the lines. And he goes, and God will allow evil to succeed only so much, and then he will step in and stop it. And he used to reference World War II quite a bit. He's like, you know, sometimes you have to let evil do its thing so people can recognize the light. And I'm sitting here, I'm looking at this. I don't think there's any doubt that we are in a dark time in this country with a Joe Biden administration, but it's not just the Joe Biden administration. It's everything surrounding it. Everything that was involved with lying about Trump during the last campaign, last two campaigns, I guess, his administration making things up about him. You may not like the guy's policies. You may not like his morality, and that's fine too. But the things that were done to him and said about him were all wrong. They were not true. And it was designed to smear somebody, and it paved the way for really a lot of very dangerous things, to the point that Colorado was almost splitting the country into two with a civil war. And I'm sitting here looking at it. I'm just wondering, you know, when you're talking to the pews, like, is this something that you pick up on that, hey, maybe we're at that point where God's not going to let it go on too long? And we've got people butchering young children and celebrating it online. I played a video the other day of somebody who took their 15-month-old child. And my 15-month-old uses they, them pronouns. They don't identify as a girl. And they're at a pride parade. And of course, the camera's always on mom. The camera's always on mom because mom wants the attention. I don't know. I'm hoping that we're at a point where it's time that maybe the evil stops. Maybe it's time for the good to shine through a little bit. What's your sense on this?
You know, there's a passage in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And, you know, look, I do believe that God is in the business of protecting his people, for, you know, looking for ways to, you know, to respond to our prayers and all of these things, to really, you know, work things for our good, you know, for the good of those who love him, is what, you know, scripture would say. At the same time, I do believe in free will. And I believe that God wants to see as many people come to a knowledge of himself as possible. And those two things at times, I think, are in conflict with one another. And there's going to come a day where the chips are called in and that we have the return of Christ and, you know, justice is really carried out fully at that point. Until then, I think that we have what Paul calls light and momentary afflictions. And these are things that, although scripture calls them light and momentary, sometimes when you're in them, feel very heavy and real. But I think that God is waiting and sort of this, it's this long suffering is the word that the King James would use, that he is just sort of like, you know, having to sort of stomach the rebellion that we see all around us against him, for the hope that more or somebody else, you know, will still respond to him. And so I'm hopeful that we're going to see, you know, change. We're going to see revival. I think that if we get to a certain point, you know, and it gets to the level where there is no hope we're coming back from, I think at that point, that's when God steps in. But, you know, he might be stepping in the way as of his return rather than just changing the course of human history in that, you know, or our actions or something. So a lot of stuff there, but he loves us. He wants to see people's lives transform, but you can't go against him forever and not expect a consequence.
All right. I've got this thing I'm going to tag you in on social media here. 7 tests to see if your worship is truly Christian or pagan, because I think you'll get a kick out of it. You could probably make a sermon out of it. I'm going to tag you in it on X in a couple of minutes. But for those out there who are looking for a real church, man, how do they find one?
Yeah, absolutely. Come out to Influence Church. We're in Granger. We actually just launched a Kalamazoo satellite campus, meeting every other week right now. They're feeding in. That'll pick up as we get closer to summer. You can find out all that at Influence Network. There's no I, it's NFLUENCE network.com. That'll take you to all our different platforms, or you can find my platform at lucasmiles.org.
And if you're a little bit more remote listening to this show, AmericanPastorProject.org will help you out as well. Pastor Lucas Miles, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Casey.
All right. We got more coming up. You're listening to The Burning Truth.
Podcasts by Federated Media.